Good morning. Today's Daf Megillah Chaf Aleph. We are on the very top of Chaf Aleph and Aleph. We are continuing the Gemara's discussion and concluding the end of the second parak of our Masechta. Mitzvot Hayom. There are a select number of mitzvot, more than a select, but there are a number of mitzvot that are done during the daytime. And we established in the Mishnah back on yesterday's Daf that any mitzvah that is a daytime mitzvah, you have the whole day to do so. Now, there is a concept of Zrizim Makim La Mitzvot, which means that the first opportunity to do the mitzvah, so you should be doing the mitzvah. But in terms of the Iker Halach and the Iker Adin, so you have the entire day to do so. The Mishnah gave us a whole complement of mitzvahs listed in the Mishnah in yesterday's Daf and Chafam and Beis in terms of those mitzvahs that are done during the daytime. And so what the Gemara has done since the Mishnah, we're just going to finish this off, and it's going to finish off our second parak, is that the Gemara just simply meticulously lists the various drashas that are associated with each of the mitzvahs to tell us that you have the entire day in order to do those mitzvahs. There also in the Mishnah, we mentioned that there are a couple of mitzvahs that are done during the nighttime, and once you have a mitzvah that's done during the night, you have the whole night to do so as well. So that too is also going to be discussed very briefly in our Gemara in terms of which mitzvahs are mentioned in the Mishnah and what is conspicuously absent from the Mishnah as well. That too is going to be brought up in the Gemara as well. So we're on the very top of Chafalfa Madalfa Rifas HaEgla. So the procedure of the breaking of the back of the neck of the Egla, what we call the Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is going to be done in really rare circumstances where, in fact, you find a dead body and it is proximate to two cities and you want to find out which city is, quote unquote, responsible. And the responsible city now is going to go through the procedure of the Egla Rufa. The Gemara in Sot discusses this in some more detail. But anyway, so it is a daytime mitzvah. How do I know that? Amar Dabbei Rav Yonai Kapara Ksiv. Because the word kapara is used in the context of the mitzvah. And kikachim. So therefore, once we say the word kapara, so then it goes to the entire category of kachim. And then see yesterday's daf, where the Gemara has a discussion regarding, the fact that all karbanos kachim avoda is done during the daytime. I say all, I don't really mean all, but most every part of karbanos are done during the daytime. Certainly the kapara element of a karban is done during the daytime that we established in yesterday's daf. So once Egla Rufa is now connected to that, so then the same thing is going to be true regarding Egla Rufa. Taras Mitzora, now the same thing is true regarding the Mitzora Tahara process, in which it's going to be done during the daytime. So again, not to go through the entire detail of the Tahara, Taharas HaMitzora, for more details, first open up a Chumash, 14th parak of Vayikra, the beginning of Parshas Mitzora, where there the Torah goes through in detail exactly the Tahara process. But meanwhile, it's done during the day. Dechsiv Zostia Taharas HaMitzora Biyom Taharaso. So you look over there in the Parsha, in Parak Yudalit, so it's going to say the word Bayom, and as we've said consistently throughout this entire sugya, anytime you see the word Bayom used in the context of a mitzvah, that keys us into the idea that it is a daytime mitzvah. Kolayla Kashal Ksir Saomer. So as far as nighttime is concerned, so there are two mitzvahs that are pronounced in our Mishnah, which are nighttime mitzvahs. One is Ksir Saomer, and the other one is the burning of the fast and the limbs. So the Gemara now is going to be discussing the mitzvah of Ksir Saomer. So Damar Ksir Vesfira Balayla Vavas Bayom. So as far as the Ksir is concerned, and the counting of the Omer that's done at night, and the Hava, and the bringing of the Karban Omer is going to be during the daytime. So yesterday I spent a little bit of time discussing the basic mitzvah of the bringing of the Karban Omer, which is brought on the second day of Pesach, on the 16th day of Nisan. So, but obviously prior to the bringing of the Karban Omer, so you have to harvest the Omer. The harvesting of the Karban Omer is done on the night prior, on Motzei Yantav Rishon. So there's the mitzvah of Ketziras HaOmer. So what our Gemara is telling us is that it's a nighttime mitzvah as a result of it being a nighttime mitzvah, so therefore you have the entire night to do so. In addition to that, our Gemara also says that as far as Sfiras HaOmer is concerned, so our Gemara gives us the impression that Sfiras HaOmer is connected with Ketziras HaOmer. So Ketziras HaOmer is done during the night, Sfiras HaOmer is done at night as well. I didn't mention it yesterday, but if you take a look at Tosos on the previous Amud, on the bottom, so it brings down the Machlokas Rishonim. This Machlokas Rishonim comes up a couple of times throughout Shas. So right here in yesterday's Daf and Chaf Amud Beis, so Tosos says, what if I forgot to make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer at night? What happens at that point in time? Tosos brings down the Machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag, what to do under those circumstances. We're not going to go through the Tosos right now, but just acknowledging that there is a Tosos discussing it. When we get to the seventh parak of Menachos, this is not a promise. It's going to be some time before we get there, about 4 years from now. give or take. But when we get to the seventh parak of Menachos, so we're going to discuss the mitzvah of Sir Salomer in a lot more detail. Anyway, Hector Chalav Ve'evarim, the burning of the fast and the limbs, that's the other mitzvah mentioned in our Mishnah, which is a nighttime mitzvah. So the chsiv, excuse me, the chsiv kol alayla ad boker. So over here, the pasuk says beferish, it's all night. So zeh klal davshim mitzvah b'yam kasha kol hayom. So, and then after the Mishnah gives us a whole list of mitzvahs that are done during the day and a couple of mitzvahs that are done at night. So then the Mishnah says zeh klal, this is the rule. Now we could have figured out the rule on our own. Whenever the Mishnah adds this at the end, it's there to include. So the Gemara's question, this is a consistent, this is a trend in the Gemara. So when you see the word zeh klal, you know it's coming to include something. It's just a question of what is it coming to include. So zeh klal lasuye ma'isa, what is it coming to include? Lasuye, cedar bezichin v'silk bezichin uchirav yosi, detan rav yosi, omer silke se yishana, shachris v'cedar se chadasha arvis, ein beklach klum, umani bekayim. Excuse me, umani bekayim. We have lifnei Hashem tamid, lifanai tamid, shelo yeshuchem v'lo lechem. So the sheet of Rav Yossi. Sheet of Rav Yossi is as follows. So how do I replace a lechem tamid every week in the Beis HaMikdash? First of all, there is a lechem tamid. We know this already. So 12 loaves of bread are organized on the Shochan from week to week, where new loaves are baked on Erev Shabbos, replaced on Shabbos. The old loaves, lechem is taken off the Shochan and then divided amongst the Kohanim. Six for this Mishmar, for last week's Mishnah, six for the upcoming Mishmar. We go over this numerous times throughout Shas. Our point over here is the following. In terms of when the old one is taken off and when the new one is put on, so the conventional thinking and the conventional shita amongst the Tanaim is that it's happening at the same time, meaning as the old one is sliding off the Shochan, the new one is coming to replace it. Okay, so it's going to be in one motion. And the reason why is because the pasuk says that the Shochan has to have lechem on it all the time. Tamid. And so that means to say that we don't want a moment where there's no lechem on it. That's the conventional thinking. However, there is a shita of Rav Yossi, which our Gemara over here is quoting. And the shita of Rav Yossi is telling us that if I take off the old in the morning and replace it with the new in the evening, that's okay. I say evening, by the way, I just simply mean by the end of the day. That would be okay. The pasuk says, lefanai tamid. Tamid just simply means that it has to be consistently there. Not constantly there, but consistently there. Meaning you can't go a day without lechem being on it. So if you take off one in the morning and replace it in the afternoon, that's okay. That's not a big deal. And so when our Mishnah is saying that it is a mitzvah kol hayom, you have the whole day to do so. Meaning, as long as you replace it sometime within the day, so you're going to get a check for that. Our Mishnah is actually a nod to the opinion of Rav Yossi. Meaning, if you hold like the conventional thinking, so there's no reason to include that in our Mishnah, because there's not going to be even a moment where I take off the old and I didn't put on the new one. But according to Rav Yossi, where there's going to be time, how much time is allowed between the removal of the old and putting on the new? So you have the entire day. Davashim mitzvah sabalayla kasha kol alayla, and now we're going to go in the other direction, where it is something which is a mitzvah at night, you have the entire night to do so. Lasuya mai, why is it coming to include? Lasuya achilas psachim. So that is in coming to include the eating of the Karm Pesach, the local Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, not like the sheet of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Detanya Vachlus, Abbas Abalayla Hazer, Amar Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Nemer Kam Balayla Hazer, Venemer Lahalan Avarti Beretz Mitzrayim Balayla Hazer, Malahalan Ad Chatzos, Afkan Ad Chatzos. So the famous sheet of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, I say it's famous because we see it all the time throughout Shas. There are a number of references to this throughout Shas, obviously in Psachim. We discussed, we also mentioned it back in Brachos as well. So the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah is that you have until what time to eat your Karm Pesach? You have till midnight. He has a drasha, we just quoted it in the Gemara, that you have till midnight to eat the Karm Pesach, and you cannot eat the Karm Pesach any point past midnight. It's a little bit strange, right? The Karm Pesach does not become noser until morning. So from midnight to morning, where are we for Rav Elazar ben Azariah? In some sort of halachic limbo. It's really unclear exactly what that period is. But in other words, it's too late to eat the Karm Pesach, but it's not yet nosar. Anyway, point of all this being is that that according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, you don't have the whole night to eat the Karm Pesach, but rather you only have up until midnight. And our Mishnah says, zeh haklal, to include the Karm Pesach. So our Mishnah is not going like the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Okay. And which means that now that we do have a Stam Mishnah that is against Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So Tosfos over here, the last Tosfos of the Perek, the second Tosfos of our Amud. So Tosfos over here goes on to discuss what is in fact the halacha. Do we pass like Rav Elazar ben Azariah or do we not? So it happens to be that Shitas HaTosos over here and a number of other places, so Shitas HaTosos says that we do Paskin like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Even though our Mishnah is not going like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, but Tosos points to a number of other Stam Mishnayos throughout Shas that do in fact go like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. And therefore, since Tosos Paskin like Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so he says, look, our matzah is Zecher LeKarban Pesach. There's a mitzvah to eat matzah. And even the afikoman matzah that we're eating is also a mitzvah min haTorah, presumably linked and connected to the Karban Pesach. And so since the Karban Pesach cannot be eaten later than Chatzos, so the matzah cannot be eaten later than Chatzos, including matzah afikoman as well. So that means to say that Tosus writes this here, Tosus wrote this back in Pesachim as well. Your afikoman has to be completed before Chatzos. That's the shita of Tosfos. Tosfos says, as far as halal is concerned, after afikoman, so the halal afterwards does not have to be before chatzos, but the eating of the afikoman does. Again, this is just I'm just right now presenting the sheet of Tosfos. I'm not giving a full analysis of this particular topic, but Tosfos over here is clearly of the position that the halacha does in fact follow like the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Hajalacha kore lemafreya. That is the end of the second parak of the Masechta. Here we are in Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, starting now the next parak, the third parak of the Masechta. So as I mentioned already a number of times. So there really is a break between the first and second parakim of the Masechta and the third and fourth. First two parakim really dedicated to the topic of the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. The first parak talked about when to read the Megillah, and the second parak mostly focused on how to read the Megillah. So, and who's going to be reading the Megillah. Now that we're done with the first two parakim, and now as we start the third parak of the Masechta, so our discussions are going to transition over. We're going to be talking about really the mitzvah of Kriyas HaTorah. So we know that there's a mitzvah that we read the Torah. So we read it every week. We read it more than every week. In other words, we also read on Mondays and Thursdays as well. And on Shabbos Mincha as well. So what we're going to be discussing over the course of this third parak of the Masechta is a number of halachas that relate to Kriyas HaTorah. So the including not just the aliyahs and the number of aliyahs that are doled out on any given time that we read the Megillah, Haftorah as well, Targum, right, a lost art of Targum, right, translating the Torah as we're reading the Torah. So all that's going to be discussed here in the third parak of the Masechta. And then when we get to the fourth parak of the Masechta, which is Daf Chavav, bottom of Chafei Amud Beis, so we are going to be discussing then the Halachas of Ishul. And Hilchos Beis HaKnesses is all going to be discussed and articulated within the fourth parak of the Masechta. And Adkan, that brings us to the end of the Masechta. Okay, so these are, if you will, these are like kind of assorted, excuse me, these are assorted halachas, and so do they really have a home? It's hard to figure a home for them based on the Masechtas of Shas, but maybe Brachos would have been another possible candidate of where to put these parakim. Okay, but they find themselves in Megillah. Megillah, anyway, is a form of Kriyas HaTorah. So, I could definitely see, you know, how it is that these prakim thematically fit into this Masechta over here. Let's begin. Hakoris Megillah, so when you're reading the Megillah, Omed V'yoshev. So you could be reading the Megillah in either a standing or a sitting position. There is no requirement to either have to stand or to have to sit. It is dealer's choice. There is a discussion to be had regarding the bracha of the Megillah, generally speaking, by Berachos HaMitzvah. So what we do is we stand for Berachos HaMitzvah. We don't sit for Berachos HaMitzvah. But nevertheless, so there is a discussion to be had regarding the bracha. But in terms of the actual kriya itself, so Omer V'yoshev, you could be standing, you could be sitting. For the Baal Koreh, who is reading for a tzibor, for a minion, so the established minhag is that he stands, al kavanat tzibor. Anyway, so kara echad karu shnayim yatsu. One person reads, two people read, so that would work. Generally speaking, we say that shnei kolos lo mishtame, that two voices that are there, they don't enhance each other's sound, but rather just the opposite, to the detriment. So back in Rosh Hashanah, we discussed this in much greater detail, of this idea of trei kolos lo mishtame, but the Gemara noted that there are exceptions. Even though generally speaking, we say trei kolos lo mishtame, that two voices cannot be heard, and they do not create a better sound, an improved sound, but rather just the opposite. But the Gemara notes over there in Rosh Hashanah, our Gemara here assumes that we know this. Notable exceptions are when something is chaviv, when something is beloved, and we're really paying careful attention, so then you can have multiple people who are saying it. Now, where the minig is to make a bracha, you make a bracha. But if the minig is not to make a bracha, then you don't make a bracha. The Gemara is going to clarify. This is not talking about the bracha before the Megillah. The bracha before the Megillah is a birchas mitzvah. That's not an optional bracha. That is a mandatory bracha. The Gemara over here is going to, the Gemara will later on point out that our Gemara over here is referencing the bracha that we make after the Megillah. That's a bracha shel minag. It's a customary bracha, and some have the minag, some do not have the minag. That's going to be clarified in the Gemara. Then, b'shen v'chamisha b'shabbos mincha koren shosha. So when it comes to Monday or Thursday or Shabbos mincha, so you read three aliyahs, ein pochasim mehen ve'ein mosifin aleihem. So not to diminish from the number three, not to add to the number three as well. So that means to say that our Mishnah states that when it comes to the Kriyas HaTorah, and the Mishnah here does not give us any background in terms of the reading on Mondays and Thursdays and Shabbos Mincha, with the assumption already that we know that we do. The Mishnah here is just telling us in terms of the number of aliyahs that are doled out on those days, no more nor less than three, for Monday, for Thursday, and for Shabbos Mincha. So no less, three is a minimum number. Why no more? Why can't you add? So Rashi over here points out, because on Mondays and Thursdays people work. People are working on Monday and Thursday, and if you add another aliyah, so it's going to take away from people's people's ability to get to work on time. So so people are pressured for time, so therefore don't add. No hosafas during the week. What about Shabbos afternoon? So why not add another aliyah on Shabbos afternoon? Who's running anywhere on Shabbos afternoon? So Rashi says people also press for time on Shabbos afternoon as well. No, that sounds strange, but Rashi writes. Why? So Rashi writes over here, because Shabbos, the minig is that the Rav would be darshaning on Shabbos. Okay, there used to be a schedule, a little bit different than what we're used to in terms of Shabbos, but part of the schedule is that after meals, people would go back to shul and people would listen to the Rav darshaning. And that would go for a good part of the afternoon, to the point where they would be davening mincha later in the afternoon. This is everything I'm saying is Rashi. So later in the afternoon, and now at that point in time, now they're pressed for time. Okay, that's how the schedule was back in the day. And so therefore, even for Shabbos afternoon, you couldn't add more than three. Fine. So three aliyahs on Monday and Thursday, and even Shabbos afternoon. Ein maftir benavi. Also, there's no haftarah. Rashi says it's all predicated on the same reason, meaning, I guess in principle, maybe we can even discuss it. But again, everyone's pressed for time at these particular occasions, so therefore there's no haftarah. Haposech v'achosim etorah mevarch lefaneh u'le'achareha. So, who is going to be making the bracha birchas haTorah on the laning? Again, the Mishnah over here is making another assumption, which is that there's birchas haTorah. Again, we go to shul, we experience this all the time. So for us, like, we don't even think about it, but at this point in time, it's now forcing us to think about it. Meaning, when you're getting an aliyah, when you go up there to get an aliyah, so you're going to be making a birchas haTorah. It's a little bit strange if you think about it. Meaning, we are all of us already made a birchas haTorah in the morning. So what are we doing making another birchas haTorah on Kriyas haTorah? So not today, but hopefully we'll have at least an attempted answer to that question at a later point in time. But anyway, but who's going to be making the bracha of birchas haTorah? So the Mishnah says the first ola, the last ola. So the first one getting an aliyah, so he'll make the opening bracha, so Sher Bracha Banu, and the last ola after at the conclusion of his aliyah, so he'll be making the concluding bracha. So in other words, now you're wondering to yourself, that's not our minhag. Our minhag is that every ola is going to be making the bracha lifanei ola achara. So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to be discussing that very point. Bereshit chadashim v'chol shomoi. Now, when you get to Rosh Chodesh, when you get to Chol HaMoed, Karin arba'ah. So we're going to increase by one aliyah. Ein pochas me'me mosifin aleihem. Again, no less, no more. Ve'ein maftir menavi. And again, no navi also on Rosh Chodesh, nor on Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed, who's going to work? So Rashi says, people go to work on Chol HaMoed. In other words, there are teirim for people to go to work on Chol HaMoed. And so therefore, once again, on Chol HaMoed, you have that stress and that pressure to work. So therefore, the cap of the number of aliyahs is four. Meaning one more aliyah to acknowledge and recognize the fact that the day has more kedusha. But again, there are some people who still go to work. And again, the Mishnah is repeating. Tosfos is bothered over here why the Mishnah needs to repeat this point, because we're going to see it now three times in our Mishnah. And that is, who's making the brachas? The first ola, the last ola, are going to be making the brachas lifana and lachare respectively. Zeha klal, kosheish ba musa, ve'eno yom tov karin arba'ah. So if you're saying a Musaf, like Rosh Chodesh, like Chol HaMoed, but there is, it does not have a Yontif quality to it, so then there are going to be four aliyahs. But Yom Tov, now in Yom Tov itself, Chamisha, there are going to be five aliyahs. But Yom HaKippurim, Shisha, and Yom Kippur, there's going to be six aliyahs. B'Shabbos Shiva, and on Shabbos, there's going to be seven aliyahs. Ein Pochas Mehem, now on Shabbos, you can't have less than seven. Aval Mosif and Aleim, but you're allowed to add, to the Shabbos aliyahs. You can do a Hosafa. So, Maftir Menavi, and on top of that, also, you can be Maftir. Not only can you be Maftir, but the Minig is to do Haftarah as well. Ha posech v'achosim b'torah mevarch lafanei alacharei. Now for a third time in the Mishnah, as if we didn't already get it, who's making the Birchas HaTorah? The first Ola, the last Ola are making the Birchas HaTorah. So you can see this, the second Tosos of our parak, the second to last Tosos, is by the fact that the Mishnah is repeating this point now three times over in our Mishnah. So why would it need to do so? Tosos gives the Tosos gives a suggestion in terms of why that is. Anyway, in the meanwhile, so a lot of halachas over here in the Mishnah, a lot to discuss over here in the Mishnah. So let's get underway. Let's start off with the first halach of our Mishnah, and that is Kriyas HaMegillah. So how can you do it? You can either do it in a standing position or in a sitting position. Tana Masha Enkei Mitorah. So the Gemara right away says that when you read Torah B'Tzibor, so you do not sit down when you're hearing Torah B'Tzibor. So Minan Emila, the Gemara says, how do I know that? I'm a Rabbi Abba, I'm a Krav, Atapo, Amod Imadi. So Akash Baruch Hu says to Moshe, look, when you and me are going to be learning Torah together, right? So you will be standing together with me. Now we're saying it as if Akash Baruch Hu is standing. The Amr Rabbi Abba, Umale Mikra Kosov, E Efshala Omra, Kaviyachal Af Akash Baruch Hu Ba'amida. Now we can't say that Akash Baruch Hu is standing because Akash Baruch Hu is not corporal. There is nothing physical about Akash Baruch Hu. That does not have a physical form. In other words, the idea that he has a body is just simply not correct. In other words, it's not a correct conceptualization of Akash Baruch Hu. However, when we talk about Akash Baruch Hu, we talk as if he had a body, as if he were standing, and that's the Kaviyachol. Meaning we see the word Kaviyachol coming up all the time throughout Shas, and that's exactly what it means. Meaning as if we could say, we can't say it, but in other words, but just to give some sort of, some sort of way to speak about another entity. So the easiest way to speak about another entity, even though we can't really understand that other entity, in this case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but what we do is as a Kaviyachol, as if we were to say that he's able to stand. The Torah speaks like that all the time. Right, we're about to read in next week's parsha. Hayada Chazaka, Kadosh Baruch Hu's strong hand, his mighty hand. What do you mean his mighty hand? He doesn't have a hand. Okay, good. So Kaviyachol. So over here as well, Kadosh Baruch Hu's standing as he's learning Torah with Moshe. So once again, Kaviyachol, as if we could say it. The Torah speaks like that. So good. So, but at least for us now, we learn that for us who do have a physical form, so the position of learning Torah is going to be standing. So when you're learning Torah, you have to be standing. So basically, it sounds like this. When you're reading the Megillah, Megillah is not Torah. Meaning, of course, it's part of Tanakh, but it's not Chamisha Chumshe Torah. So therefore, by Megillah, you have an option. You could stand, you could sit. But when you're learning Torah, so there you have to stand. Po Amod Imadi. V'am Rabbi Abba Minayin L'Rav Shalo Yeshev Al Gabi Mita V'Yishan Al Tamidav Al Gabi Karka. So Rabbi Abba says, how do I know? That when the Rav is learning and teaching, so he shouldn't be sitting, and the student should be on the floor. Shenemar vata po amod imadi. So you're going to be standing together with me, meaning they should be on the same playing field. Now, not clear over here whether the objection over here is that they're both in the sitting position or they're both not on the same level. In other words, they need to be on the same level with one another. Right, I do see a lot of drasha opportunities over here. I'm not going to take advantage of it, but I do see a lot of drasha opportunities over here in terms of teacher and student being, you know, being aligned with one another. So, you know, in other words, having some sort of similar vantage point. But anyway, but the basic idea over here seems to reinforce what we said previously, and that is that the teaching of Torah must be in a standing position. Yeah, right. They're correct. Tana Rabbanim Yemos Moshe Ve'ad Rabban Gamliel Lo Hayu Lameidim Torah Ela Me'uman. Ah, so now we're going to give a little bit of a history regarding the positioning that people had when learning Torah, and it begs the question because I'm sure you look around and you see people are sitting while learning Torah. In fact, you can look at this very room right now, everybody's sitting while learning Torah. So The Gemara over here is saying it as an absolute that you must be standing when learning Torah. And meanwhile, it's my Rebbe back in YU. So never. I was just going over this with my Chavrusa. He never stood. Never stood when he gave shiur. Rav Braunschweigel never stood. I don't remember one time that he ever stood while giving shiur. Anyway, so so people don't stand when they're learning Torah. So what happened? So over here, Tanu Rabbanim, Yemos Moshe, Vada Rabban Gamliel. So from Moshe to Rabban Gamliel, Lo Hayulamin in Torah, Ela Me'umad. So the only way they would be learning Torah is only Me'umad, is only standing. Mishemes Rabban Gamliel, however, from the death of Rabban Gamliel. So just historically, how long a period are we talking about from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rabban Gamliel? So we're talking, well over 1,000 years. Okay, Rabban Gamliel is the end of Bayis Sheni. So from Moshe Rabbeinu until the end of Bayis Sheni is over 1,000 years, or something more to the tune of approximately 1,400 years. Okay, from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabban Gamliel. So the so for that period of time, so everybody had a certain koach haTorah, and so therefore everybody would be doing it in a position of Amida. However, with the death of Rabban Gamliel, Yared Choli LaOlam, so a sickness came onto the world, meaning people were just weaker. And people would be learning Torah even in a sitting position. And the end of Sota, right? The end of Sota talks about all the drop-offs with the deaths of various Tanaim. So, and even Amoraim as well. There was a tremendous drop-off in Kavod HaTorah with the death of Rabban Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel really represented the end of a certain degree, a certain level of Kavod HaTorah. And unfortunately, with his demise, significant drop-off in Kavod HaTorah. Because of Echad Omar ve'eshev Bahar. Because of Echad Omar ve'anochi amadati Bahar. So, as much as now we have reinforced the idea numerous times that you should be standing while learning, so a couple things. The Gemara just also explained to us that after the death of Rabban Gamliel, now which represents basically the last 2,000 years of Jewish history, so there is an allowance. The Gemara gives it to us. There is an allowance to learn Torah in a sitting position. Fine. That's number one. Number two is that we said that when Moshe was learning with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he was in a standing position. And meanwhile, the Gemara now is going to note that if you look at the Pesukim inside, you're really not going to get that impression. In fact, the Pesukim are confusing. One pasuk says, I was sitting on the mountain. This is Moshe talking. And because of Echad Omer Va'anochi Amadati Bahar, and I stood on the mountain. So which one was it? Was it sitting or was it standing? And on top of that, we can also ask the question. We just learned together that from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabban Gamliel, everyone had to be in a standing position. So what's going on over here? So the Gemara is going to give numerous answers to this question. Number one. Answer number one. Amar Rav Omid V'Lomid Yoshev V'Shona. So when it comes to learning for the first time, so it has to be in a standing position. But when reviewing, so he could do it in a sitting position. Rabbi Chanina Amar Lo Omei V'Lo Yoshev Elo Shocha. A second answer of the Gemara is that Moshe was in some sort of in-between position between standing and sitting. Rabbi Yochanan Amar In Yeshiva Elo Lashon Akava. No, the word Yeshiv over here does not mean sitting. In other words, we misinterpreted it. So it just simply means that he was there for a long time. The word yeshiva just simply means that he was delayed over there. Shenemar v'teshvu b'kodesh, yamim rabim. Another example where you see the word v'teshvu does not mean physically sitting. It just simply means that we were there for some time. Rava Amar, this is now the fourth answer to the question of, was Moshe sitting or standing? Rakos mu'umad v'kashos miyushav. So if it's something that was easier to digest, easier to understand, So then you could be doing it in a standing position. But if it's kashod, if it's difficult, so there miyushav, so there you're going to be in a sitting position, because there you just simply need to be more concentrated, more focused. And the Gemara is assuming over here that you will be more concentrated and focused when you're going to be in a sitting position. Okay, so a lot of Gemara actually on whether or not the correct position of learning is going to be either in a standing or in a sitting position. We're in the very bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Kara Echa Karu Shnaim Yatsu. Tana. We now turn to the top of the Amud Beis. Umasha ain came b'Torah. This is not so as it relates to Torah. Meaning that when it comes to Torah and when it comes to the transmission of Torah, so you could not have multiple people saying over the Torah, but rather You have to have one person sing it over. In other words, when it comes to Torah, we want the clarity of sound, even though you're going to lose out on volume, but you're going to lose on the volume, but you're going to gain in terms of clarity. And we want everyone to hear the pasuk as clearly as possible. So therefore, only one person can say the Torah. Tanu Rabbanan b'Torah echa kar v'echa metargein. Now, when it comes to Torah, one person is going to read the Torah and one person is going to say over the Targum. It used to be back in the day that the way they would read the Torah is that they would read a pasuk of Chumash, and then they would have a Targum. They would have a Meturgaman. They're going to have an interpreter, and that interpreter now is going to be saying over the pasuk in Aramaic, in Lashon Arami. In other words, they'll be saying over the Targum. So that way that everyone could understand, because back in the day, everyone spoke Aramaic. So, and that's how they would read the Torah. What we're learning together is that it would be one person reading the Torah and one person saying over the Targum. It's only one voice. Is that one voice going to be heard clearly by everybody? The answer, of course, is no. The answer is that it will be heard clearly, but obviously you're going to lose out in volume being that's only one person saying it. Again, when it comes to Torah, because it is halacha, because it's mitzvos, so therefore, every pasuk has to be articulated, enunciated, even at the expense where we're going to lose out on volume. And that's true even for the Targum as well, because the Targum, of course, is just the translation of the pasuk. We want everyone to hear that clearly as well. So you cannot have two people saying over Targum. However, Uva Navi, Echa Kor V'Shtayim Targumin. But when it comes to Navi, so one person will read the Navi. And as far as Targum is concerned, so you can have multiple people doing Targum. They're going to be doing it together. It'll be a duet of Targum. It could be more than a duet, presumably. Now what's going to happen is that you'll increase the volume. Clarity will go down. So volume will increase, clarity will go down. Rashi writes over here, the Ushtayim Targum, V'chol Shekein She'ein Shnayim, sorry, next Rashi. Uvenavi afilo echakar ve'echav v'shtayim targumim shahat targum einu ela lashmiel lanashim ve'ame haaretz sheina makirim b'lashon hakodesh v'ha targum hu laz habavliim. All right, so Rashi says over here that targum is basically Aramaic. Uvetargum shel Torah tzrichim anu lachzor shiu mevinim es hamitzvos avabashol neviim lo kapti alai kolei hai. Okay, so what comes out over here, says Rashi, is that when it comes to Navi, we can gain in terms of volume, and we're going to lose out in terms of clarity. That's fine. But when it comes to Torah, that's a mitzvah. When it comes to mitzvah, so we want clarity over volume. And that's why when it comes to mitzvah, both the reading of the Torah and the Targum has to be done by one person. Back to the Gemara. Uvenavi echad kar v'shnayim targumim, uvavashalei shnayim kar v'shnayim targumim. Now, when it comes to Navi, so you don't want two people reading the actual Navi itself, meaning one person to read. And then as far as the translation is concerned, so we'll raise the volume, even though we're gonna lose out in clarity. And finally, Uve Halal Uve Megillah. Now when it comes to Halal, when it comes to Megillah, so Afil Asar Korn Vasar Metargumin. So then you can even have 10 people reading, 10 people saying over Targum, and that would be fine as it relates to Megillah. Now the Gemara over here, I'm sorry, the Gemara, let's just read on. My time came into Chaviva Yavidai Tai Vishameh. So the Gemara over here gives us a much shorter discussion of the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Gemara Rosh Hashanah slightly more expanded. Why can I have 10 people reading the Megillah? In other words, we now have established that when more than one person is saying something, so we're losing out on the clarity. We gain in the volume, but we're losing out on the clarity. So the Gemara says, yeah, but as far as the Megillah is concerned, it's so Chaviv, it's something which is so beloved. So as a result of that, so people are going to try even harder to listen to the Megillah, and so because people will strain themselves to listen to the Megillah because it's a Dever Chaviv, so therefore you can have 10 people reading it. There is controversy over the fact that our Gemara says that not only can you read the Megillah with 10 people, you can even read the Targum of the Megillah with 10 people. Rashi says over here, you take those words out of the Gemara. They don't belong in the Gemara. Because Rashi over here is clearly of the position that Targum is done. Rashi is of the position that there is no Targum on the Megillah. Okay. Tosos rejects that idea. Anyway, what comes out over here now is as follows. Let's just quickly summarize. For Torah, one person reading, one person translating, we want clarity. For Navi, one person reading, you can have multiple people translating. Again, the translation of the Navi, so it's more Musar, it's less mitzvah, so So you can have, we can increase the volume for the Targum. And for the Megillah, even for the actual Kriyas HaMegillah itself, so you can have 10 people reading as well. Aye, we're going to lose out in the clarity. Yeah, but it's a Davar HaChaviv, and therefore people are going to listen. Back in Rosh Hashanah, we did discuss a little bit more detail in terms of what the definition is of a Davar HaChaviv. What exactly does that mean? A simple pshat would be that we love the Megillah. Everyone loves listening to the Megillah. But Rashi over there in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah doesn't say that. He says over there, a Davar HaChaviv means that it does not happen frequently. It only happens once a year. That's Rashi's definition over there of a Davar HaChaviv. Anyway, we continue in our Gemara. Makam shenagu levarech, yivarech. So if the minag is to make a bracha, so then you make a bracha. If the minag is not to make a bracha, then you do not make a bracha. So I'm Rabbi Lo Shanu El Alacharev Alafaneh Mitzvah. So I made this point back in the Mishnah, but obviously I had the Gemara in mind. So we're not talking about the bracha beforehand. The bracha beforehand is an obligation. Mitzvah Levarech. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kol Mitzvah Tzchulam Mevarech Aleim Over Leyas Yasan. So we have this halacha that when you make a brachas mitzvah, you must be doing so immediately prior to the mitzvah. My mashmadai over lishnadak dumehu. As far as the language of immediately prior, so I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. I'm a krav. Vayaretz achi ma'atz derech hakikar. Vayavor es akushi. He went in front of the kushi. Two people running to deliver information. Anyway, so you see the word vayavor means that he went in front of. Abai Amar Me'achavahu over lifnehem. A second example in Chumash where you see the words that he went in front of them. Ibai Sem Me'achavahu Malkam lifnehem Vashem Birosham. So three psukim all speaking to this idea that the word over means to go in front of. So the bracha, Birchas HaMitzvah, must go immediately prior to the actual mitzvah. A number of occasions, not here, but a number of occasions, Tosus points out that sometimes it's a little bit tricky to get the bracha immediately prior to the mitzvah. By, for example, lulav, for example, back in Sukkah, we did this at length. So for the mitzvah of lulav, it's hard to get the bracha immediately prior to the before the performance of the mitzvah. Tosfos struggles over there how exactly to coordinate the bracha and the mitzvah so that the bracha be done immediately prior to the mitzvah. Lifaneh mai mevarech, so Rav Sheshes mikatarzya ikla lakamit Rav Ashi ubarech manach. Fine, so as far as the brachas that you're going to be making prior to the mitzvah. So what are the brachas that you are going to be making? So there are going to be three brachas. Manach is an acronym. Al-Mikra Megillah, that's a mem. And Sha'asa Nisim, that's a nun. And Shechiyanu, that's the ches. Okay. So three brachas prior to the reading of the Megillah. Much discussion to be had in terms of whether or not you make a Shechiyanu on the daytime reading. You already made a Shechiyanu on the nighttime reading, so you can make a Shechiyanu again on the daytime. Ashkenazim do. Pardon? I don't remember. Anyway, what about the bracha afterwards? So what is the bracha afterwards? So we know now that the bracha afterwards is a minhag. Some people do, some people don't. I think Klal Yisrael as a whole has accepted and adopted the minhag to make a bracha after the reading of the Megillah. Certainly Ashkenazim do. What is the nusach of this bracha? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Haravitz Rivinu V'Adonis Dininu V'Anokei Misnik Masinu V'Nifra Lanu Mitzareinu V'Hamishalem Gemol L'Chol Oyvei Nafshinu Baruch atah Hashem Anifra L'Yisrael Mikol Tzareihem. So the Gemara gives us a nusach. I'm not going to translate every word, but basically the idea is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking out for us and he protects us and he takes vengeance for us. And Rava Amar HaKel HaMoshia. Now in terms of the Chasima, so there are various opinions of what you should do. So according to one position, it's Hanifra LiYisrael Mikol Tzareihem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take retribution on behalf of the Jewish people against all enemies. Rava says, Akel Mashiach, Kadosh Baruch Hu will save us. Okay. Now there obviously are subtle differences between them, between those two chasimas. I really don't know how to articulate what the differences are, regardless. Amar Rapapa Hilkach Nimri LaTarvai, Rapapa says, so good. So they both are thematically appropriate. Therefore, what we'll do is we'll combine the two. And that's exactly what we do. Baruchat Hashem, Anifra L'Yisrael, Mikol Tzareihem, HaKel HaMoshiach. So what we're reading as a chasima is really a synthesized version of the two chasimas that are mentioned in the Gemara. This is Rapapa who synthesizes. It sounds familiar, right? It sure should, because Rapapa does this throughout Shas, right? I heard a number of times that he does it 10 times throughout Shas. The number itself is debatable in terms of how many times he does it throughout Shas. But suffice right now to say that he does it a lot of times, where he synthesizes various positions and he puts them together. So Hilchach Nemir LeTavayu is the common refrain that is associated with Rav Papa. B'shin v'chamisha b'shavas mincha karin shlosha hani shlosha keneged mi. Three aliyahs, so what does that correspond to? Am Rav Asa keneged Torah Nevi'im Miksuvim, Rav Amar keneged Kohanim Levi'im v'Yisraelim. Okay, so the Gemara says that the number three is significant to us, exactly how this connects to three aliyahs. So it's a wonderful, it's a wonderful question in terms of what exactly are these connections to three aliyahs. But anyway, Elahad ni Rav Shimi ein pochas miyut psachim ibeisa knesses v'yidaber olam in a minyan. So now we know about three aliyahs. Now we're learning another halacha, which is that the three aliyahs has to be comprised of 10 psukim. Now, obviously, 10 psukim does not fit neatly into three aliyahs, a point we're gonna explore in just a moment. How do I get to the number 10? And oh, by the way, the pasuk Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, that counts as one of the psukim, right? For a moment, one can entertain that pasuk is just a, it's almost like an intro. It's not like you can't count that as a pasuk. That's a havamina. And the muskat, of course, is no. You count that as a pasuk. So hani asar keneged mi. So what is the number 10 significant of? So I'm Rav Yishuv Ben Levi keneged asar balanim shebebeis haknesses. Remember, we talked about earlier in the Masechta, there are 10 people who are in shul, who are dedicating themselves to both minyan and to daven and to learning. Rav Yosef Amar keneged asar dibros shenemer lamoshe b'sinai asar sadibros. In the parentheses, keneged asar hilulim shamar David b'sefer tehillim. Okay, whether that belongs there or doesn't belong there. Anyway, Rav Yochanan Amar keneged asar ma'amar shebehem nivra olam. 10 utterances in which the world was created. Hainio vayomer debracious. So the Gemara says, look at Maisa Bracious and look at the number of times it says the word Vayomer, it says it 10 times. So the Gemara says, Hani Tisha Havo. Yeah, but fact checking over here. What do you mean 10 times? It's not 10 times, it's 9 times. So Bracious Nami Mamar Hu Dechsiv Bidvar Shamayim Nasu Vrach Piv Kol Tziva Am. So the Gemara says, no, the word Bracious also counts as one. We have a Pasuk in Tehillim that speaks to this idea that Bidvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu. That just with the first word, the earth was created, Bracious counts as one. So therefore, 10. Okay, so once again, the number 10 is significant in many different ways. How all these ways relate to the 10 psukim, the minimum 10 psukim that has to be said on Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos Mincha. Okay, that also needs more elaboration. Amar Rava, Rishon Shekara. Now, the Gemara over here, we're going to end off with this, and that is that there are three aliyahs, 10 psukim. Okay, so that means, of course, that one of the aliyahs is going to be getting an extra pasuk if I'm going with the base minimum of 10. Where should I put the extra pasuk? Should I put it in the first or second or third aliyah? What we're going to be learning together is it's all good. If I add that extra pasuk in either the first or the second or the third, it would all be good. There is no, in this particular halacha, there's no preference in terms of who gets the extra pasuk. Now, mind you, by the way, because as we're going to learn in tomorrow's daf, there is more rules in terms of how to break up aliyahs. So it's not as simple and straightforward as we're making it right now, but at least we get to learn this particular point that there's no particular preference. Amar Rav Rishon Shekar Dal Meshubach, Sheni Shekar Dal Meshubach, Shishi Shekar Dalad Meshubach. It's wherever the extra pasuk goes, first, second, or third aliyah, it's praiseworthy. Right? Rishon Shekar Dal Meshubach, then none. For the collection of the machitz is a shekel, so there's going to be a truma after all the money is collected into the lishka, into the chamber. So now what's going to happen is that we're going to be tormen es a lishka. We're going to do a truma es a lishka. We're going to take a basket. The baskets are going to be labeled Aleph Beis Gimel, because we want to know which basket was taken first, because that's where we're going to take our first monies from the Aleph basket. So you see, Aleph, there's a primacy, there's significance to being number one. Emsai Shekara Arba Meshubach, what about the middle? D'tanya Amul Panei Amenor, Ya'iru Malami Shemitzad D'Paneim Kapei Ner Maravi, V'Ner Maravi Kapei Shechina. So V'Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mikan Shemsai Meshubach, the western lamp. Now, this actually gets complicated because there is a machlokas in terms of the configuration, the orientation of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Was it facing northwest? Was it facing north-south? Or was it facing east-west? So the Ner Maravi, so it's a little bit easier to describe the Ner Maravi if the orientation of the menorah was east-west. However, if it's north-south, so what does it mean, the western lamp? So what it means is that the western lamp is the middle lamp where the wick was more westbound than the other lamps. So that's why it's described as Western. Anyway, the point over here is that all the other narrows faced the center. So you see that there's a primacy to the center. Now, as far as putting the extra pasuk in the third aliyah, will you go up in kedusha? Malim bekosh ve'ein moridim. And Rav Papa ikla lebe kenisha da abi gubar v'kar rishon arba v'shavche Rav Papa. Rav Papa goes to the shul in Abi Gubar. He got the first aliyah. He read, and he read the four pesukim in the first aliyah, and he got a big yesher kovach. Okay, and the Gemara just simply wants to tell us Maisa Shahaya. We're going to stop over here. Tomorrow, more halachas regarding aliyahs. A big discussion tomorrow's daf: how to break up the Kriyas HaTorah for Rosh Chodesh. Right, that's going to be a bit of a trick, and tomorrow we're going to learn how to do that trick. Meantime, however, what do we do today? Finish off the second parak of the Masechta, various mitzvahs which are to be done all day, also various mitzvahs that are to be done at night, the Zeh Klal of the Mishnah. What is that coming to include? What is it coming to exclude? That ended the second parak. And then we started the third parak of the Masechta. So Kriyas HaMegillah, Limud HaTorah, and Aliyahs. Those are our big topics in the beginning of the third parak of the Masechta. First of all, we talked about the Kriyas Megillah could be done either Me'umad or Me'yushav, as opposed to learning Torah. And the reading of the Torah were there, that has to be done Me'umad. And the Gemara notes that since Rabbi Gamliel, so a sickness, a weakness has entered into the world, and so we're learning the Torah in a sitting position. But from Moshe Rabbeinu until Rabbi Gamliel, around approximately 1400 years of Jewish history, so their Torah was only learned in a standing position, not in a sitting position, even though the Gemara also noted that by Moshe we have conflicting psukim in terms of whether he was standing or sitting. Okay, but anyway, that's the first sugya that we did. Then, from there, can I have multiple people reading? So by a Torah, the answer is no. Not the Torah, not even Targum. When it comes to Navi, one person reads, you can have multiple people being Matargim. And when it comes to Megillah, multiple people could be reading the Megillah. And whether or not there's a Targum on Megillah, so that's a machlokus amongst the Rishonim. When you make a bracha, huh?
At the same time, same people?
Yeah.
Not one after another.
No, simultaneously. Concert. Then the Gemara talked about the brachas before Megillah. That's not a minhag, that's a chiyuv, right? And the three brachas to be made before the Megillah. Brachas after the Megillah, that's a minhag, and the Gemara goes over the nusach for those people who have the minhag, those people who have the mig now seems to be all of Klal Yisrael. And finally, the last thing that we covered this morning, was the three aliyahs and the temp sukkim. So three aliyahs, what does it correspond to? The Gemara gave us a number of ramazim of what it corresponds to, temp sukkim. Also, we have Ramazan for that as well. There's going to be an extra pasuk. Which aliyah should I put it in? Dealer's choice. First is good, second is good, third is good as well.